This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. I'd like to welcome you all to an interesting edition. I'm gonna call it interesting before it even starts. This will be an interesting edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, where analytics meet the eye test. I want to thank our friends, as we always come to you from the Patio Studios, your original party place for St. Louis Cardinals baseball fans everywhere. Whether it's pre or post game, Patio's has got you covered with atmosphere, fun, and Cardinals galore. So make sure you stop in. I got to be honest and tell you that the way things are going right now, it might be the most fun you have when you head downtown is stopping at Patio's before the game or after the game, unfortunately. That'll give you a little insight into how this show is going to go today, because when talking to friends like everybody's friend Randy Green at innovativecompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial, he's got you covered when it comes to construction, heating and cooling and electric. He's a 35 years experienced second generation craftsman who is a man of his word and cares how it's perceived. So therefore, I don't mind saying that when it comes to guys like Randy Green, good down-to-earth people, good blue-collar people like myself and some of my cohorts in crime that'll be joining me on Bow Ties and Bullshit today, that the reason I'm going to say this show is going to be interesting is because the title of it really should be WTF. And we all know what WTF stands for. I'm going to spare you the F-bomb. But that's how I feel. I'm going to be real honest with you. I try to be really positive sometimes. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I might lose my mind a little bit. But, you can look at it any way you want. And I try to say, hey, let's let things play out. Let's do this. But, man, we're a third of the way through the season here. And we're not good. We can sugarcoat this all we want, and I'm a Mike Schilt fan, okay? But listen, if we weren't going to let Mike Matheny tell us how everything was okay, if we're not going to let Mo tell us how everything's okay without bitching about them doing it, then we can't do it to Schilt either, okay? We're getting the same rhetoric out of the locker room. I thought Kevin Wheeler put it really well in his show today. It's kumbaya, and everybody's getting along down there, but we suck. I'd rather us all hate one another and be good. I'm not real sure what's going on here, but disappointing is the word I'm going to use for myself. I'll be curious to see what word one of my good friends that does the show with me, Kyle Reese, has to say. So let's just welcome him in now as he joins us, as he always does. Thanks to some of our good friends that bring you the show each week. I'd love to bring up our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, as since it's a little past lunchtime and I'm hungry, I'm thinking about barbecue. And of all the things I've talked about, the only thing that excites me is the barbecue. And it's located on Watson Road, open until 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Don't be fooled. Adam's Smokehouse, they do box lunches. They do catering. They do deliver to certain zip codes. But if you want the best barbecue in St. Louis, hit Adam's Smokehouse up over on Watson Road. See Mike and his staff. They do a tremendous job. St. Louis, here's your cue. Kyle Reese.
Hello, sir.
WTF.
I guess that's the one word that I choose. WTF. I couldn't know. As you introed me and you say one word, the first word that came to my mind is lazy. And not lazy for the way that the Cardinals are playing, but lazy at the way they're being managed and handled. I mean, you say kumbaya when you talk about what it's like in the clubhouse. They're sitting back and they're waiting for everything to click, and they're hopeful that everything is going to click. But even now, they've hardly made any changes to help jumpstart or to help the pieces click into place. They moved Dexter Fowler and moved Matt Carpenter. That was the one thing they did to the lineup. And then they removed Michael Wacha from the rotation. And we're going to find out how that goes tonight with Hennessy Cabrera on the mound. But you're below 500 this late in the season for what, the first time in years? I mean, I wanted to check to see when it was this late in the season. But you're below 500 for the first time, you know, this late in the season, and you aren't changing anything. You aren't adapting. You know, there's no urgency. The Blues, all you hear about is urgency. Look, tonight for game two, they have to play with urgency. And their season's on the line, and it makes a little bit more sense to be super urgent in the Stanley Cup final. But when you're one game below 500 in the division that you're in the National League Central, it's time to get creative. And there's maybe lazy isn't the right way to put it, but there's definitely a lack of creativity amongst the Cardinals organization right now. And it's brought on by hope more than anything. And that's my WTF moment. Like, you know, when you go 10 games above 500 and you slowly start to fall off of that, like, sure, you don't want to panic. Everyone feels panic in the clubhouse when the manager does it or the organization does it. But it's time to show urgency, and it's bad right now. It's bad, and there's absolutely no urgency. And tonight, I'm sure the lineup will be the exact same lineup it's been for the last 6 days, without moving anyone or adjusting anyone or getting aggressive or creative with the lineup. You know, I get why they kept the lineup how it was with Paul DeJong hitting the way that Paul DeJong has hit, but now Paul DeJong is like 0 for his last 18 with a bunch of Ks or something crazy like that. So, you know, Marcell Ozuna isn't hitting. Paul Goldschmidt got a couple hits last night, you know, home run. But it's time to get creative. And right now, the organization is being lazily slow and uncreative. And both of those things need to change.
I thought this was Mike Matheny's fault. No?
Oh, no. I mean, obviously not. This is bad as it gets. As bad as it gets. You know, it's funny. It's like two contrasting styles, right? Matheny would throw out 1.5 million lineups with 1.5 million different people. And Schilt just runs out the same lineup every day. And, you know, it definitely feels more like an organizational issue or maybe the talent, like, you know, maybe Mo and Mr. Gersh and all of them are responsible for the way that this is all planning out. But I think the difference is, and this is where Mr. Schilt deserves to get blown up a little bit, is these pieces are better than the pieces that Mike Matheny had last year. And he's not doing anything. Like, Matheny was frustrating because he would change the lineup and you'd be like, no, you don't want to play this guy in this matchup. And Schilt's aggravating because he has everyday players and he doesn't try to get creative with them. It's almost like he said, you know, all right, you want to bat in the five hole, you're going to bat five. Oh, Goldie, you're going to bat two, you can bat two. Like, obviously, this is more than just an issue of the manager. It's a systemic issue. And, I definitely understand why people would think that. But, you know, it's also the same issues happening in the bullpen. You know, Mike Schilt doesn't go to Jordan Hicks all but, like, three or four or five games, whatever it was. And when he uses them, he uses them inappropriately, and it's just not maximizing your talent in any capacity. And it's just, it's really poor. It's as bad as it gets right now. And not only from like a production standpoint, but also from a management, you know, general managing standpoint.
Well, I want to preface what I said earlier by saying my true feeling. Number one, I never felt Mike Matheny was a smart manager. All I said for 3 years was, if you think he's the biggest problem, you're mistaken. That's all I've ever said. It's a complacent type situation here. And listen, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I've had this conversation with 100 people that tell me they refuse to believe this. If you think this front office doesn't have say-so in what goes on down on that field and in that dugout, you are nuts. Nuts, nuts, nuts.
Yeah, and it, just even making Mr. Schilt, the manager. I don't think that there are a lot of people who would tell you that part of the reason that Mike Schilt is the manager is because he has, you know, that he's willing to listen to the ear of the front office. And you don't need to look any further than Hennessy's Cabrera's start tonight. You know, the quotes from Schilt were something along the lines, and of course I'm paraphrasing here, that we believe what the front office tells us. That's why we're going with Hennessy here. Like, we believe that what the scouts and the front office are telling us, we trust in them. They've never given us a reason not to trust. So, you know, there's people who say Jake Woodford should get the start. Daniel Ponce de Leon. If Austin Gomber was healthy, it'd probably be him. But, you know, everyone is kind of adjusted to this is who should have gotten that start. Maybe John Gant. Maybe, you know, I've been on the Ryan Helsley bandwagon, obviously. But just the fact that Hennessy Cabrera, even though I do believe he deserves a start, and it's going to be interesting to see one way or the other, he's getting the start because the front office told Mike Schilt that that was the right move. So, yeah, it's definitely definitely a lot coming from the up top there.
Yeah, I mean, I thought once Mike Matheny was gone, Colton Wong would be able to spread his wings.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just asking questions here. I'm not making any bold statements, but I thought, you know, and look, we can't take away the fact that Dexter started great, Colton Wong started great, and everything looked like, yeah, I guess that was what was going on. But where are we now? I mean, the last 30 days, both those guys I just mentioned are both hitting under 180. I'm not talking about for a week, for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them get regular at-bats.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, again, it goes to show you that maybe we invest a little too much in what happens on the coaching staff further, you know, beyond than just the manager. You know, Jeff Albert was supposed to be a guru that was supposed to maximize. And it still might happen. You know, it's still an adjustment period and all that stuff. But, you know, the players still have to play the game. And your point, exactly. You know, the Cardinals, what do they have? They have depth. Like, they have, it might not be like, I think it's good depth. I'm not going to say it's great depth. But they have depth that they can get creative with. And they're not doing any of that. You know, you mentioned Colton Wong. And there's no creativity.
I want to stop you right there because I'm going to throw a name out at you. You got one guy on this team that can hit, and it's Jaro Munoz, and he just sits on the bench.
Yep.
He just sits there.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. That dude can hit. You can think whatever you want to think about him. That dude can hit.
Yeah.
But we're committed to these other guys because the last manager wasn't quote unquote committed to them, and that's what caused the problem. It wasn't how good they were or weren't. Listen, I heard I like Kevin Wheeler a lot, so I'll bring up sometimes what he says. I don't always agree with him. In fact, sometimes I downright don't like what he has to say, and I think, you know, we can disagree. But he makes the reason I respect him and the reason I actually do like him, like on the whole, is because I think he says it like it is sometimes. And, you know, everybody can believe what they want to believe. This shit with Colt Wong's been going on for years. How much rope do we keep giving guys? I mean, this has been the MO for years. But once again, everybody always wants to make an excuse for guys that they like, you know?
Yeah.
We're always making excuses instead of going, you know what? It looks like a duck. It quacks like a duck. It's a duck.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny to see them be extra protective of those guys while maybe letting some other guys walk easily.
Oh, well, listen, if you need to, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know why they want to protect a guy like Wong that they signed really early on to a 5-year deal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe that, you know, part of the fear with Colton Wong is because he is so talented that he's going to go somewhere and it's going to click. And I think it's more protecting against that. I mean, just as much as it is protecting your own investment, of course, and the money you spent for him. But, you know, we all know that Colton Wong had a market. He has had a marketplace, a trade marketplace. He's been rumored to be traded here and there, but the Cardinals don't do it. And I believe it's because they're scared of him. You know, like, that's what I think. But beyond that, like, that's weird speculation and all that stuff. I don't know, man. It's bad right now. Nothing is clicking. Everything is awful. And, it's time to get creative. When we first started doing this, you know, this offseason, as we prepared for this year, I was very much for a lineup that wasn't set. And being aggressive. Like, the team was never, even with the additions, the team was never necessarily good enough to just put people in and hope that it all works out. Like, it's good. It could happen. It was going to happen sometime. But we definitely had that feeling that you had to find the hot hand and roll with them and get that hot hand as many at-bats frequently as possible. And none of that's happened. And when everyone was the hot hand, they were 10 games over 500. And now no one's the hot hand, and they're miserable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm being a little over-dramatic and over-the-top today for effect. I mean, the truth of the matter is I think we have good players. I mean, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I mean, like, Paul Goldschmidt hasn't been Paul Goldschmidt, but I like him, and I want to believe in Paul Goldschmidt. I've seen enough out of Marcell Ozuna to be a believer. You know, Yachty's been pretty consistent across the board to what it is Yachty does. You know, was I excited about the start from Colton Wong and Dexter Fowler? Yes, very excited. Who wouldn't be? But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that in the back of my mind I wasn't sitting here going, these both feel like what goes up will come down. You know, and not that any of us thought either one of them were going to hit 400. I mean, let's be realistic. The Jose Martinez thing is a little interesting to me because that guy's been a pretty consistent hitter, and he's looked a little overmatched lately for whatever reason. But, you know, I get, you know, people want to sit here and blame it on, well, how's a guy supposed to do good if he doesn't play every day? And it's like, God, this is the big leagues.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't fear for your job a little bit, I don't know how you're supposed to perform at the highest level and push yourself. To go back to it, some of these guys, you know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and here we are focused so heavily on the, you know, the lineup. And, you know, when it, not totally, but somewhat ignoring the fact that you know, one of the main issues is the pitching, which has been atrocious.
Once again,
you know, like it's a total shitstorm of everything going wrong at once. And, you know, I guess you need things to work out for sure, but you also need to be aggressive about changing stuff when it's time to change stuff. Yeah.
You know, just to touch on the pitching real quick before we get you out of here. You know, I think Jack Flaherty, the talent level and the potential is there. I mean, I think we have to accept the fact that this is a second year guy, right? I think we all know what Waino is. I don't know what to make of it as far as like, what are you really going to do there? The Michael Wacha thing, obviously a disappointment. And I say that never have been a big fan. Like, he always seemed to me like a guy that once the league figured him out, he was just going to be, not that he doesn't have his moments, because all pitchers do of that caliber. But on the whole, I'm just not a two-pitch pitcher guy. And people can tell me he throws a cutter, and people can tell me he mixes in his curveball more. But let's be realistic. His fastball and his changeup are his plus pitches, and that's not a good mix for me, knowing what I know. I mean, I know how hitters in the big leagues think. Okay, they don't try to hit, contrary to everybody thinks, they don't try to hit every pitch. They go up there and they hunt pitches. So if I was facing Michael Wacha, guess what I would do? I would hunt one pitch, and I'm going to get it. I just got to make sure I don't miss it.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, we're not talking about me. We're talking about big league hitters. Okay.
Yeah, and also, you know, the other issue with Wacha, too, is his command. I mean, you can if you have, I mean, look at like Kyle Hendricks. If you have supreme command, you can get away with being a two-pitch pitcher. And I'm like you, of course, you want to stay away from them. You'd rather have multi-pitches. But if you're not going to hit your spots dead on, just like Wacha hasn't, then you're asking for supreme trouble. And that's what we're seeing.
You know, so, but the Michaelis thing, I don't know what to make of that. I don't know. That thing freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
Yeah. No, are you kidding me? You know, you mentioned Jack Flaherty. They had that stat on Sunday night's game where his ERA away from Milwaukee is like 2.66. You know, he's having a great season minus the three starts against Milwaukee. Of course, you need him in particular against Milwaukee to be really good.
Sure, yeah.
You know, he is the best pitcher on the staff. There's no doubt. that's not only what Michael is struggling. Like, when they're both good, he's still the best pitcher on the staff. He's just dynamic. Michaelis worries me, absolutely. I heard, and not to like bash on a Hall of Famer, but I heard the commish on the radio last week where he's saying, he was talking about Adam Wainwright, where he was like, well, you know, Wainwright's 4-4. I don't know what more you want out of a fifth starter. And it was awesome to see Wainwright strike out 10 last night. But win-loss record doesn't matter at all. Like, it, when you're trying to, oh, this guy's, this pitcher's good, he's 4-4, all right, that's great. It's the other things that matter. And that brings me to my point with the rotation and the lineup. You don't have to adhere to five starters. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to keep guys in the rotation. We're finally seeing Waka removed. You know, Michaelis is locked in there. Flaherty's locked in there. You know, there's going to be things like locked in there for sure. We'll see what happens with Dakota Hudson. You know, he had a couple of good starts here in a row, so maybe he's figured something out. You know, we'll find out. But you don't have to be married to those five guys. And you also don't have to be married to a five-man rotation. If you have pitching depth like the Cardinals have, you can give each of these guys a break, especially when they went, like, what was it, like 20-something straight games without a day off or something like that, whatever it was. Like, you can throw one of your minor league relief pitchers in or starters in there, get them a little start, give everybody a little respite, and adjust. But they lack creativity. It's why Jordan Hicks only pitched four times this month, because they lack creativity. You know, they're not going to – he hasn't pitched in a week. Well, we're still going to wait for a save situation. We're not going to bring him into this 2-1 game in the seventh inning. Like, they lack creativity, and that's what's showing. And when you're unsuccessful, when you're not playing up to your standard, creativity, which can stoke positive contribution, it ends up just being a complete crapshoot, and you're not doing anything to help your team in the long run.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on them. We've watched them roll off a really nice 10-game stretch, right? We've seen them compete. We've seen them do some things. It doesn't change the fact it's been, like, disappointing. Like, you know, I don't not believe that we don't have talent. We do. I don't know. The whole thing to me just seems a little nutty. A little nutty. I don't know. Let me ask you this question before you go. If you were going to make one change, I'm going to give you one change. What do you do? Mm-hmm. What would you do? One change.
Man, I don't, you know, I
think, is one not enough? Is that the problem?
No, I don't think one is enough. You know, right now Harrison Bader's hitting. I'd probably get him in the lineup as often as possible. As crazy as that sounds, you know, what one change I would make, I'd jumble the hell out of that lineup. You know, I'd do something crazy. I'd have Yadi lead off, and then I'd bet Jose Mar. I would have the slowest 1-2-3 in the history of baseball. I'd have, you know, I'd just get creative. I'd have Yadi lead off, Jose Martinez hitting second, Matt Carpenter hitting third. I would stagger them so that the slowest guy let off. And I say that joking, of course, but step one for me is just getting creative with the lineup. And I know that's not like a move. The other thing for me is, you know, pitchers only have so many bolts. And it's becoming more and more of a true statement now than ever. It will in the future as guys throw harder and put more strain on their arms. But every bullet that you waste from Ryan Helsley down at AAA is a stupid, stupid, stupid decision. Now, if you move him into the bullpen, if you move him into the rotation, whatever. But you have a supremely talented arm, and he's just sitting down there, and he's ready for the majors. It's not like a question if he's ready. It's not like Jake Woodford where, all right, this guy has problems throwing strikes. Helsley throws strikes, and his arm is better than a lot of the arms that you have on your roster. Find some way to get this guy involved and use him as frequently as his arm will allow. The one move I would make is I would get my best guys to the majors, especially if they've already been to the majors. And I feel like we're seeing that now with Hennessy a little bit. Adjust Michael Waka, get Michael Waka some bullpen innings, see what it looks like, and be creative with the lineup. You cannot keep your creative solution in the lineup, cannot be flopping Carpenter and Fowler and hoping for the best. Like, that's just lazy. It's stupid. It's frustrating. And it's not going to help the team in any capacity. And honestly, I'd start by moving Goldschmidt down. Like, get him in the 3 spot, get him in the 4 spot, get him in the 5 spot. Who cares? Even if he's hitting right now, do something to give him the opportunity to drive in some runs, because he hasn't got it regardless of who's sitting in front of him.
Well, I don't know. Like I'm with you. Like it, the whole thing is a little like it's been underwhelming. You know, like I want to be overwhelmed. You know, yeah. I want to be overwhelmed. There were some nice overwhelming things at the beginning of the season, and when that shine's worn off, you know, it's amazing how when Paul DeJong's not hitting 340 and Marcelo Zuna's not hitting 280, and you know, Dexter's not hitting 350 and Colton Wong's not hitting 350. It's amazing how the luster goes quickly, you know?
Yeah. And again, to that point, the last couple of years, it's been, you know, 2 years ago, it was like June 9th or June 10th. You know, last year, it wasn't until the All-Star game that the Cardinals were willing to make changes that needed to be made. And they were just that close to making the playoffs. And I mean, we're talking even Memorial Day, you hear Flag Day, you hear Arbor Day, you hear, but we're past it now. We are past it. And not only because of the record, specifically because of the record, but not only because of the record, but because it's frustrating and it's stupid. And we all see it. But the Cardinals, once again, whether it be a manager or a general manager or president of baseball operations, are just slow and lazy to make changes when changes need to be made. And the changes that they do make are minor at that. And, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that these type of slow changes are happening. And we're going on year four of being on the outside looking into the playoffs.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, something needs to change. I don't even really care at this juncture. I want to see something different. Okay. Yeah. I don't want any more token promotions. I don't need to hear any more about how this guy's got this algorithm or this guy's got this spreadsheet or assigning dollar amounts to play. I don't want to hear any more of that bullshit. I want guys that can ball. Like Benji says, I want ballers. I want guys that can play. Okay. As I bring up every time to somebody when they bring up OBP to me, I never ever hear about the stat. What's your OBP with runners in scoring position? What's it always? Who can hit with runners in scoring position? Who can hit? Okay. I don't give a shit what your OBP. I don't care how many times you walk with a runner on second or third. I don't care. Okay. Somebody sooner or later has got to hit. So that's how I feel. So tired of it. Tired of it. I'm tired of, I don't want to hear about your access plane or your spin rate or anything like that. I need somebody that can throw strikes and get people out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I need those guys pitching when, you know, an optimal time for them to be pitching.
Yeah. I mean, can I get seven innings? Can I not tax the shit out of my bullpen, please? Yeah. Because I know everybody in the free speaking world that doesn't have a clue seems to think these guys can pitch every day. I don't understand. Why is he going to this guy? Why is he going to this guy? He's going to that guy because you can't put the same guys in every day.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, if your best pitcher, your most talented pitcher, is sitting on the bench for days on end and you're not going to him just because of a role, like,
absolutely,
you're stupid. And then, you know, like even that Hicks game. Now, this doesn't go on Shield, but the one game in Texas that Hicks blows, he starts the, you know, he finishes the eighth inning, pitches all the ninth, and then starts the tenth. After he hasn't pitched in, like, what, 7 or 10 days, whatever it was, like, Shields had been ejected from that game. Ali Marmol is the coach there.
He's not coaching that game. Come on.
you're probably right. You're probably right. But whoever sends Hicks out there for the 10th deserves, like, a slap on the wrist. Because that was as...
They deserve a flogging.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, you think that all of a sudden, because this kid hasn't pitched in 10 days, you can stretch him out to 50 pitches. That's the dumbest thing ever. And then you expect him to pitch effectively in his next relief appearance after he's stretched out to 45, 50 pitches. It's just so poorly managed right now. And I, again, like, just like you kind of hinted at the beginning, and this isn't to, like, beat on Shilt here, but if this was Mike Matheny managing, it would be a public lynching.
Be a shit show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and for whatever reason, you know, Shilt makes the one move where he flops Fowler and Carpenter and everyone applauds him, even though it was 20 days late. You know, it's frustrating right now. It's frustrating. And it's going to be interesting in 2 weeks here. And they'll, if you know, whatever way they're playing, and the Blues aren't playing, like that's going to be when it's really, really interesting.
Oh, I can tell you, it better get fixed here quickly. All right, my friend, great stuff from you as always. Where can our listeners follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter, KYLER416. I write for Birds on the Black when I have time to write, which apparently isn't this year. And you can follow me at Prospects After Dark. We do this little Periscope thing every once in a while. Again, I haven't had time to do it in weeks. We were going to do a draft episode on Monday, but the Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final is then, and I will be at that game, so I will not be able to do a draft episode. Breaking. Last year was a blast, and we had a great time. But hopefully we'll be able to do Prospects After Dark here in the near future and start holding them accountable.
Well, I appreciate you for joining us, and I look forward to chatting with you soon.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
That's the one, the only, Kyle Reese. I like the way he speaks the truth. He just tells you what he sees, tells you what he's thinking. He's not afraid. Doesn't matter who the player is. You know, if he's off, he's off. I like it. So good stuff as always, and I appreciate him joining us as he does from time to time when we get to do this show, of course. Hopefully we can get on a routine. The summer has not been kind to me from a starting point, as it's been a little crazy around here. But I love him. I love what he brings to the show, and it's a lot of fun. And we want to thank our friends at Adam Smokehouse for bringing us my friend and yours, Kyle Reese. All right, well, let's see. Who should we bring in next? Oh, I got a good idea. I think we'll go to the celebrity line, and special thanks goes out to our partners at Gators Baseball Academy with the summer now rolling right along and youth baseball and prep baseball kicking in as some of the high schools are falling out of that state run. The Gators Baseball Academy is hopping. We've got the Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, and the Academy, of course. Tryouts won't be long. Got to start, believe it or not, the season's not even over and people are already thinking about next year. So you can learn more by going to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. They'll have the Missouri Gator tryouts, Illinois Gator tryouts, and of course for all our high school players for the Prep Academy. So make sure you check them out in their four-pillar system. Really impressed with their training program and the people that they put in front of your kids. So make sure you check them out, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. And I also do want to throw a shout-out to my friend Dr. Kristen Jacobs at Ooh La La Anti-Aging Spa and Wellness. We still have a few days left here to remind us that May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. She brought a lot of information into the studio at the beginning of May to remind us that now's the time to be thinking about it before it really gets going here in the summer. But I always say I'm the example of what is wrong with the whole thing. I only think about sunscreen when I go to the beach or if I go to a pool, but we got to start thinking about it more often and protect ourselves, protect our kids, protect our loved ones. Please don't forget it. And to learn more, you can learn that and a whole lot more about what she does and the wonderful things that she does do for people at drkristenjacobs.com, her wonderful Ooh La La Anti-Aging Spa and Wellness. All right, so here's a guy that I know is going to break it down for me in a different way than I'm going to, but I have a feeling we both may throw up before the thing's over. So let's welcome in everybody's favorite Mo's Algorithm. What's going on, pal?
Hey, how are you doing today, Jim?
Well, I uniquely did not send you guys on purpose a title for this week's show because the title's WTF. I mean, really,
yeah.
That's what it is. And, you know, I'm going to give you a chance maybe to hit on a few things that have you shaking your head and what's going on because, you know, I'm trying to convince myself that we're better than we were because we should be, but I'm not seeing it. So you got to help me here.
Yeah. I know I was the voice of reason in April when I was telling everybody to relax and, you know, let them get on a schedule and they were playing pretty well. But, I always said I waited till Memorial Day to make any judgment calls on teams, and this team is the same team that it has been for the last 3 years. Nothing's different. We might as well just expect the same thing. It's not changing. It probably wasn't all Matheny, but they are not talented enough to compete for 95 to 100 wins. They're just not.
Would it be safe to say you weren't the biggest Matheny fan, correct? Or did
correct.
You? Okay, but. I thought this was fixed. No.
Yeah, like there was a great honeymoon period with Schilt, you know, once he took over. Sometimes a new voice can re-energize guys, but you know, that energy and motivation and momentum can only really carry a team so long before, you know, the true identity of the team comes out. And, you know, not much is different from this year's team for the last 3 years. There's really just not much different. And they are what they are. And we just have to accept that, you know. I hate to be, you know, the bearer of bad news, but this is just who they are. Their pitching's not good enough. Their offense is inconsistent. And this is just what we're going to see. And this is the type of team that will reel off 8 in a row again and reel everybody back in. And then they'll go 500 for the next 2 months. That's exactly who they've been for the last 3 years. They are an 83 to 88 win team who will go on 7-8 game runs where they look fantastic. And then they'll play 2 games under 500 for an entire 2 month stretch. So,
well,
this is what we get.
Man, I guess,
I mean, they're not even beating the bad team. That's, you know what I mean? Like, if this was just an issue where, like, you know, we're just kind of struggling against the good teams, but, you know, they're really playing well against them. They literally just play the same no matter who they're playing. Like, they could, you know, they swept the Dodgers 4 games in April, but then they look like trash against teams like the Texas Rangers. So, I'm at a loss. It's disappointing. I was hoping that the stretch they had in mid to late April was who they are. But now we've seen over the last 4 or 5 weeks that it's the same song and dance.
Well, speaking of the same song and dance, how do we fix it?
I am not for tanking, but at this point, it's probably just time. Like, we've been playing this game for, this is our 4th year that they, you know, probably won't make playoffs if they just continue to play like this. And it's just like, you know, you keep trading away talent to fill a hole. You make a cheap signing to fill a hole. Like, they just aren't. This is kind of like the Chicago White Sox for the better part of the last 10 years or so before they decided to tank. Like, they would sign a free agent and make a little trade, and they'd piecemeal their way to 86 wins, not good enough, right? And then they'd do the same thing, and they'd piecemeal themselves to 84 wins, not good enough. And, like, you just keep repeating that cycle over and over and over to where you're either just going to do that, and that's who you are, and you're waiting out that 92, 93 win fluke season like the Mariners started to have last year, you know, where you outperformed what you really were, or you just tear it down, because I don't think there's a lot in the system worth getting excited about. So what do you have to look forward to? You block these guys up now. So, like, this is your team, and they're only going to get older now. So, again, I'm not for all hitting the panic button and tanking, but if your approach has to go one of two ways. You have to spend your way out of this monotony, or you have to tank your way out of this monotony. And we all know Bill DeWitt Jr. is not spending his way out of this mediocre monotony. So it's really only one option.
Well, I mean, how do I put this? Can Cardinal fans handle a tank?
They don't handle this well, so what's the difference?
So,
I mean,
can they do it? Describe tanking. I mean, who wants Carpenter after that extension? Answer me that question.
You can always find places for guys. You can.
I mean,
you can always find places for these
who
guys.
Who realistically wants Goldschmidt for that money? Who wants Carpenter for that money? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Who wants him?
I mean,
nobody. Nobody's going to take Fowler, right? You could let Ozuna walk, or you could trade him at the trade deadline, I guess, right? Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think a team would definitely bite on Goldschmidt. I don't think that's a lost cause if he signed at a pretty fair rate. Like, I don't think that's anything to panic about. And there's no reason you'd have to get rid of Matt Carpenter. You can let him hang around for the next 2 or 3 years while this rebuild takes place. But, like,
so if we're going to rebuild, I got to watch that? Seriously. I mean I'm being serious as a fan. You're telling me I'm going to rebuild and I got to watch that?
Watch what?
That I've caught enough of that act. I don't even care if he gets hot for another 2 or 3 months. I've caught enough of his act. I'm done. I'm kind of done with Carp, to be honest. I hope he does well. I hope he has another banging 3 month period where he hits everything in sight. But I mean, I'm over this act. I am. I'm over it. You know?
And that's definitely fair.
I'd rather watch Jaro Munoz every day. I'd rather watch Jaro Munoz go out there and make a couple boneheaded defensive plays to watch a guy go up to the plate and hack and say, get it near the strike zone and I'm hacking because I'm up here to hit. I'd much rather watch that. Much rather at this juncture.
Yeah, I'm a John Mozeliak fan and all that, but it might be time.
Run their course, really? I mean,
that's what I was going to say. You know, I was going to follow up with, that doesn't necessarily mean he did a bad job, right? He, in my opinion, he did a fantastic job. You know, he brought the city a championship. He brought them out of the depths of what was going to be a very dark time, you know, after the 07 season. But, you know, at this point, it's like, and I hate to continue to blame him because I feel like it's more on ownership than him, but, you know, the owner's not changing. So I don't know. I don't think DeWitt would ever get rid of Mozeliak. It goes back to, does DeWitt really care? Like, I hate to say that about owners because I know their main priority is to make money, right? If you own a business, your business goal is to make money.
Yeah.
And winning comes second because, you know, making money is the most important part of the business. But man, I don't want to be one of these tinfoil hat people who spread this nonsense. What's the motivation? We've said this for years now. Like, what is the motivation for Bill DeWitt to change anything? Because the turnstiles still turn, the TV ratings are there. So it's like, and I'm not one to like call for a boycott or anything like that. It's just, we're all just kind of stuck in this status quo where we love the Cardinals, so we're just going to go watch them and this is who we are. And he knows that and he doesn't have any motivation to change anything. And, you know, it's a tough spot for everyone, but they're definitely at a turning point. And this isn't just panic over the last 4 weeks. Like this, we've seen this movie before. This is volume 4 of this movie. And if we think it's just going to automatically change without something happening pretty drastic, you know, then we're all just kind of kidding ourselves.
Well, I don't know what to do. I mean, it's funny to hear you say that out loud because you're describing me. I love the Cardinals, so I'm interested and I pay attention. And I, even if I get upset, I still go to some games and I still spend money and I still, I mean, I guess I, does that, so am I part of the problem or is it okay for me to be a fan?
No, I don't like, you know, that's one thing we're all not, fair weather fans. And I think the worst part of the Cardinals, is they're just a boring product. Even bad teams can be really exciting, right? You know, this is just an example I have from my personal experience, but when Fran McCaffrey became the Iowa basketball coach, like they weren't very good. They didn't have a ton of talent, but the style of play he brought to the university changed how they played. And they were a very up-tempo, exciting scoring team. And they didn't win a lot at first, but they were much more exciting to watch. Like it was a good product. You enjoyed what you were doing when you watched them, even though they weren't going to win. And I think that's what a lot of some of these other teams that have done things, you know, like the White Sox and stuff like that, they're not very good, but boy, do they have some really cool, exciting players and they have some hope. They have an identity of what they're trying to do. And the Cardinals don't have that. They don't, you know. Kyle does a great job with his minor league write-ups and his discussions and everything, and every team has their minor leagues and every team has their players they're excited about, but like the Cardinals aren't exciting. There's nothing exciting about the organization. There's nothing exciting about what they have coming. And when you watch them play their games, they're just a vanilla, boring ass team to watch. And so even when they win a game 4-3, like, are you really all that enthralled at what's going on? I just, and this isn't even like a baseball problem, because I watch other teams, you know, that I enjoy watching other players on other teams, and the Cardinals just don't have any of those players. They're just flat. They're just blah. They're just status quo. And, you know, this is definitely a different vibe than I had a month ago, and that sucks, but it is not, this is a cultural problem. This is from the top down, and it's just boring. They're just a boring, tired, worn out organization that is finding themselves in irrelevancy at this point.
That's my biggest problem. I mean, you just said the thing that scares me the most about being a fan of what I love. I mean, they're irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not, you know, like ESPN still wants them because they know they're going to draw fans, but like they're not a story. There's nothing about them that's attractive. They have no ace. They don't have anybody that you go, you know, and I talked about this a few weeks ago with you. You know, I wanted Jack Flair to be that guy. He's just not that guy yet. They don't have anyone that you look at the calendar and go, we're winning this game because Max Scherzer's on the mound, or we're winning this game because so-and-so is on the mound. The Cardinals don't have any of those guys.
You know, it's funny. It's funny to hear you say that, because I love, my favorite thing is when St. Louis fans in any sport complain about the announcers when they're national announcers and say, well, all they do is talk. And I'm like, what do you want them to talk about with us? We're boring.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, who cares? Like, what do you, how many times, like, can you talk about, I mean, listen, it's pretty evident from today's show. I'm frustrated, right? Today I put my fan hat on. I took off what knowledge of baseball, what really goes on versus what we want to go on. I took that hat off today and I put my fan hat on because this is getting old. See, I'm 49. Okay, I lived through the late 80s and early 90s. This is what it felt like. Folks, right here is what it felt like. And let me tell you something. It sucks. And it takes something drastic to happen to change it, to your point.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm 31, and I became a fan in 98, so I was like 10 years old. So my entire life has been them being awesome. Like, either they were awesome or they had Mark McGwire. And this goes back to my previous comment. Like, did we care that the Cardinals weren't great in 98? Nope. We didn't give a shit. You know why? Because we watched Mark McGwire step up to the plate, all eyes. Didn't care if we were 5 games under or 10 games over, right? Same in 99. And then they got good, right? And so the better part of my life, they've been good. And now, you know, this is the fourth year in a row that I don't want to say this sounds bad, but I don't look forward to watching them. I don't spend my day going, man, I can't wait for them to play the Reds tonight. It's going to be fun. Ever. They've become irrelevant. And like, I still follow them. I still watch them. But their presence in my life has become irrelevant because I know what they are.
Well, I mean.
And that's sad, because there's a generation of fans coming up behind us that now this is what they are to them. You know, the Cardinals are sitting in fourth place, and it's about to be June 1st.
And like, not in a great division.
No, like, a 4 games back in fourth place. And this is the problem. This is the problem that they have, is this has been the issue for the last few years, other than 2016, when the Cubs blew everyone out of the water, is that nobody's ever pulled away. So, like, they deserve to be 10, 12 games back right now. But because no one's pulling away, they're 4 games back. And the front office says, see, we're in it, guys. Who cares that we're 1 game under .500? We're only 4 back.
Yeah, we're an eight and two. You know, we're an 8-2 record away from being right back in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we got 16 games left against the Cubs straight up. So we're in good shape. And like, if they just continue to do this, and before you know it, it'll be the middle of September, it'll only be 2 or 3 games back. And then we'll go on a 4-game skid and we'll be 5 games back with 3 games to go, and we won't be in the playoffs again. And the front office will go into the next year and do the same exact thing, thinking, oh, look how close we were last year. Our system's working. Everything's fine. We had a rough patch for a week that cost us our trip to the playoffs. So we'll try this again, and we'll do the same stuff next year with the same players.
Well, I mean, not sure what else to say. Other than,
yeah, I don't want to sound like I'm a little whiner.
Well, yeah,
normally I have an analytical approach to these things, but you can throw analytics out the window right now. It's the same tired story. You know, it's the same thing. They're just not good enough. And the front office just isn't doing enough to make them good enough.
Well, we're going to find out. Like I said, I don't, you know, I'm not like, it isn't that I don't care. It isn't that I don't want them to do well. It isn't, I can't ignore what I see.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I know what I see with my own eyes. I know what everybody else sees, and we're gonna have to figure it out. But hey, man, I want to thank you for joining us today. You know, we're going to get through it one way or the other. What it looks like on the other side, I don't know, but we'll figure it out. Yep. For all of our listeners that like to follow you, because you've always got some great takes, how can they do so?
On Facebook at Mo's Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
Well, we'll hopefully have a different opinion next week. Maybe some things will change. Who knows? We'll have to find out.
This is about that time of year when they start moving the deck chairs, right?
We will see. We will see. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you joining me, and hopefully we'll see how this thing goes next week.
All right, Jim.
All righty. That is my good friend and yours, Mo's Algorithm, as he, you know, likes to keep it real, likes to do it. You know, you can sense in the voice of both my cohorts, as Brendan Schaefer won't be with us this week. He'll be back next week. But, you know, we're just frustrated. I mean, I think you're talking about three guys that love, you know, we love the Cardinals, right? I mean, we really do. We love the Cardinals. But, man, it's really, really hard to, not see it for what it is, you know? Again, doesn't mean I'm not a fan. I'm not here to, like, I'm not saying fire Mike Schilt. I mean, I'm not even saying fire Mo, I guess. I don't know what I'm saying. All I'm saying is I'm disappointed. I had expectations. I think we all did. I know you don't, you know, nobody wins a trophy in the off season, but, you know, I liked their moves. And, you know, I'm not going to say Goldschmidt has been awful. Andrew Miller ain't been great. You know, the change of Mike Schilt, we got a long way to go with that before we can start saying great hire, not great hire, whatever. I like him. I like a lot of the things that he does. I just hate the fact that in all of this, and sometimes you don't want to be right about certain things, but I said it forever. Mike Matheny was not near the biggest problem on this team. Was he part of it? Sure. I mean, I didn't think he was a great coach. I thought he made a lot of stupid decisions. But all coaches make dumb decisions because they don't always work and because we don't always agree with them. So we all magnify those decisions. The reality of it is, I think from a baseball strategic standpoint, he did things that were silly. I think they all do to some degree because they all still use their gut some. Because it doesn't matter what you do, you're not always going to be right. You can play the analytics and you're not going to be right all the time. The truth of the matter is, though, I've said it once, I'll say it again. A lot of managers are as smart as good as their team is. And we're just not very good, I guess. So we'll see what happens. But once again, I thank him for joining us. And, of course, the Ooh-La-La Spa with my friend Dr. Kristen Jacobs at drkristenjacobs.com. And, of course, our friends at Gators Baseball Academy, gatorsbaseballacademy.com, for bringing you that wonderful stuff today as well. Want to thank everybody for joining us today. Don't forget to check us out at twobirdsandabat.com. You guys can subscribe to the show there. You can also listen to the show. You can check out our Two Birds bloggers. Those people do a fine job with their writing. Check us out on social media. We are at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Please click invite your friends and invite them. When you see the pinned post, that's the show. Like it, comment on it, and please share it as we try to bring more people in to the conversations. You know, Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. We're there. Would love for you guys to check us out over at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform that I know you guys will really enjoy. Download it for free on your mobile device today. Again, I love doing the show. I love what it brings. I hope everybody enjoys it as well. I'm going to get out of here and go watch some high school baseball as my son's Edwardsville team is playing in the semifinal of sectional. And, you know, just watch some hopefully good baseball today, because it's not happening on the pro field, so maybe it'll happen on the high school field. For all of us here, Two Birds and a Bat, let's go Birds! Yeah.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.